Welcome to the UFO Files Show.
Welcome to the UFO Files, and of course we're in Eureka Springs, and we are at the Ozark UFO Conference. And we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk to a few fellow Okies, fellow Oklahomans. You know, Eureka Springs is not that far from Oklahoma, so a lot of people here from Oklahoma. Our first person is an interesting man with an interesting name.
Alan Longo Bucco.
Okay, Alan Longo Bucco. Is that your native name? I mean, did your mother give you that name?
My father did.
Okay. Well, it rolls off the tongue,
well,
that's for sure.
It kind of fits me. It means big mouth.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about why you're here at the Ozark UFO convention.
It's my third trip. My wife and I came up, and I had my first sighting in 1966, and I came up about 93, 94. I wanted to see if these people were as far out as I thought they were, and they were a lot more centered than I gave them credit, and I enjoyed it.
And well, first of all, you got to tell me about that 1966 sighting.
Well, I was 12 years old, and a friend of mine and I were on our bikes looking toward the water tower, which is a good 2 miles from where we were.
Now, where was this?
This is in Poteau, Oklahoma.
Okay.
There was an oval disc.
We're continuing this hour. We're talking. You know, I'm from Oklahoma as well, mm-hmm. And so we're talking to basically people from Oklahoma. So you fit right into the theme.
It was an oval, and it had a band in the middle, which rotated in one direction, and the whole oval rotated in the other direction. And my friend and I were just embarrassed that we saw this, and we kept looking away, hoping it would disappear.
Oh, really?
Yes. And finally it did.
It's kind of like, don't show it.
Yes. We don't want to know. Please go away. But finally it did, and we realized we don't know which direction it went, how it went, how fast it went.
Now, how old were you again?
12.
12, okay.
And that was my first sighting. I didn't see another one again for maybe 25, 30 years. But that got me on the road of interest in the UFOs. So my friend, it kind of put him on the road away from them because he didn't do anything more with it. And I was more or less stuck with this burden of, now why is this, we see this, where did it come from?
Are you still in contact with this friend at
all? Oh, we're good friends, yes.
Yes, still good.
Yes.
But he's not buying into
it? He vehemently denies that he saw anything, and I have to tell him that his parents beat it out of him or something. I don't know what it was, but
so he's definitely in denial.
Oh, absolutely. And I always razz him about it when I go see him, and he turns embarrassed, turns all kinds of colors, and says, I can't remember. I said, yes, you can, but he doesn't.
Now, where do you live now?
I live in Poteau.
Oh, so you haven't moved.
Well, I've moved around quite a bit.
But you're back. You're kind of like me.
Right.
Okay. let's talk about the rest of this saga. I know there's more to it.
Well, I worked in convenience stores most of my life, and people will tell me things they ordinarily wouldn't tell other people, and I hear about sightings or people getting divorced or getting mad or feeling upset, and I hear about some sightings, and people tell me things they haven't told anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And there are quite a few sightings in LaFleur County, where I'm from, a lot more than you think.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That area is very similar to the topography here in Eureka Springs.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know about Oklahoma, that part of it.
Right.
But it's like the Ozarks.
It's very green, lots of water, mountainous.
Now when we talk about some of the other things you've seen down there, and other people come in and tell you stories.
Right.
Basically, give me a little sampling of what you've seen or what you've heard.
We've had sightings of a disc that landed in a field. We've had in Worcester, which is about 10 miles south of us.
They had a tornado there once. I covered back a long time ago.
Yes. We've had a cattle mutilation at that point. And then there'll be another one in Howe, which is between Poteau. And when I met Linda Moulton Howe, I told her about it. She was shocked that the name of the town was spelled the same way as hers.
Yes, H-O-W-E.
Yes. And plus here recently, we had these sightings and on television about a gentleman who was in the military, retired, on January 9th of this year. Well, a friend of mine and I saw something on the Oklahoma side, because that was over in Fort Smith or Van Buren, Arkansas.
For our listeners, Poteau is very close to the Arkansas line.
And we saw lights in the sky change configuration. We really couldn't tell if it was a craft or the lights were all separate, or if they were on a craft because it was so dark. And we were just amazed to see it, and then they disappeared, then they would come back on, and then it flew away. And that's the best we can say about it, except it made no sound whatsoever.
Now, you've had, you've had several of these sightings. Do you think something else might be going on that you don't know about, or have you had contact or anything?
I have no contact, not that I'm aware of, no missing time that I'm aware of. All I can say is they were anomalous lights in the sky that did not move the way I'm used to seeing aircraft move. There's no way of telling who was behind it, who made it. It was too dark, and at night you can't tell distance and you can't tell size because having nothing to compare it with.
Now you're saying that other people have come to you in the same area, they
yes.
live where you are, and they've seen basically the same thing.
Yes.
Anybody ever talk about contact or anything, or just sights of lights?
It's just sightings of what we've seen.
You've been coming to these conferences now. What do you make of it? I mean, we made a little joking comment at the top of the show here, top of your segment, but what do you really, really make of all of this? What do you think's going on?
Well, it's quite serious, and it seems to me the interest, the serious interest, is growing. And I've never been to one of these conferences where we had standing room only at every venue, and that's what we've got.
It does seem like more people are paying attention these days to it. And part of that is some of the mainstream media all of a sudden has been reporting some things like the Chicago sighting at O'Hare.
Well, Chicago and the Mexico City sightings, the Phoenix sightings, you just can't deny it anymore. If you want to, but there are so many things that you have video of.
So... I appreciate you taking your time to come here and talk to me about this and tell me about it, because sightings reports and people having experiences are my favorite shows, really, more even than the researchers, even though I enjoy talking to them, too, a whole lot. But the idea is that people like you, the common man, so to speak, even though you haven't uncommon name. you seem to when you latch onto this, what I'm getting to, and I'm rambling a little bit, but what I'm getting to is when you saw it when you were young, and your best friend, he still denies he saw it. Did you immediately go around and tell people at that point, or you did?
My parents. I told people at school. I told anyone that wanted to listen.
And your friend wouldn't back you up?
No.
He said, "I didn't see anything."
Well, he wasn't always with me, and I don't know why I did that. But I mean, I've told people.
He's still your buddy all these
years.
Oh yes.
He's
never come up on why.
No.
He just really, literally says he didn't see it.
He did not see. Or he doesn't recall.
Okay.
To the best of his recollection, he cannot recall the sighting. I've drawn pictures of it for people ever since I've seen it, and I stick with my story, and he sticks with his.
Okay, now you're down in what we call in Oklahoma, Little Dixie,
yes.
a southern influence
yes.
of Oklahoma
yes.
state.
Yes.
How do people take to you talking to them about UFO sightings? I mean, how does that come up?
Well, I kiddingly say they think I'm a nut.
Yeah.
But
but you don't mind.
I don't mind.
You want to find out.
I'm not afraid to say, I saw this. You can say what you want. And I have a history of trying to do what I say and say what I do. So hopefully I have that type of record as person. But I'm
it's
not
a small
afraid
town.
To, yeah.
Everybody
knows
know
if, you know, right. if you got in trouble, if you did this, or you know
yeah,
what you
right,
did.
Right.
They know your family. I'm just going to stay with my story, and I'm not afraid to say that. Maybe that's why more people come to me and tell me things they might not tell anyone else.
And how many people have told you things over the years? 20? 30?
Oh, it'd be, I would say more than 30. I'd say hundreds of people over the years. I worked in a convenience store for almost 30 years.
In this little town in southeastern Oklahoma?
You get lots of people coming through. And you get lots of people you can talk to. And if there's something on TV, or on the news. You bring it up, you're just amazed what a person may say, specifically to a third party who's not related or doesn't know you very well.
Out of those 100 or so people that you've talked to, anybody tell you something you really remember, something unusual?
I have a friend who I still keep in touch with in Colorado who claims he has missing time. And I can't ever corroborate it. However, he just talks about it, and this happened, that happened.
Was it driving a car or something?
It's at home. He told me he'd been at work, and he went to on a construction job, and he went over to the next street, working on this block, went to the next street to get some tools. When he finally came back, he nearly got fired because he was gone for like 2 hours, and it would have taken 5 minutes to go get the tools and walk back. And in that time, he said he had a missing time, an abduction. And I said, well...
Does he say he has scars or anything? Any marks? Or?
He had some, but I don't really remember.
Uh-huh.
The scary part about that, I forget, there's times I've woken up and I've had some marks on me, but you don't
really...
But I don't recall anything in that.
Sure.
I almost hate to say it because it's like, oh, yeah, I'm the T2.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I'm not that I know of.
Yeah.
I've never had
it. You don't actually recall an experience. But
no.
When you said you have marks or something, what are you talking about?
There'd be like a little scoop mark on my arm. Or
oh,
on
really?
My...
Well, maybe there's something going on here.
I don't. I'm not aware of it.
Our time's almost up for this segment, but since we're doing Okies from Poto and other places, I think we had a couple of people from Oklahoma City, another guy from near my town in Muskogee, over in Port Gibson. No, Tahlequah is where he was.
Okay.
That whole area, that terrain of that whole area other than Oklahoma City, is pretty much like Arkansas here.
Yes.
And so I can't let you go without asking you, are there any Bigfoot stories down there?
Yes, there are.
When I used to be on the air live, I used to call a sheriff's department down in some little town in Arkansas that they supposedly saw this all the time. And I always got the same dispatcher, for lack of a better term, she had this Arkansas accent.
Yes.
Is that the best way?
Yes.
And always she would give me the reports. She said, oh, there ain't no Bigfoot. They're just talking. That deputy, he doesn't know.
We had one of the things that got me going. There was a sighting in Tallahassee in 1971 of approximately 4 foot hairy creature that came on these kids and scared them to death. They went to the police, the sheriff or someone, not sheriff, they don't have a sheriff, went down there and they shot at it and subdued it. And someone from the Air Force came and took it away. And I read about a similar sighting in a book in 83, so I went down there to investigate it.
Now, where was this exactly?
Tallahena.
Okay, right. Texas and in the mountains.
Washita Mountains.
Tallahena Drive.
And the editor of the paper said there was nothing like that. It never happened. So I wrote the Oklahoma Historical Society, got a copy of the letter of the paper of the Tallahena American that he edited at the time, that it was a front-page story. So I went back
and
said...
But he didn't remember it.
Yes, he denied it. Said, what about this?
And what did he say?
Oh yeah, but that was a big hoax. I said, well, why'd you put it on your front page?
Yeah.
So if he had just said to me, yeah, we had a bunch of kids, they got drunk, and they got in trouble, and wrecked their parents' car, and they blamed it on Bigfoot or on this, and I would have said, fine, I'll just, you know, he would have fessed up to it. I would have said, fine, I'm going to go home, I'm not going to waste my time. But I spent months tracking this information down, and I finally found it. And the last I'd heard, there actually was some type of Air Force officer that came by and got the thing. But I have no way of corroborating that.
Did the newspaper article describe what Bigfoot looked like?
This was a 4 foot hairy beast.
Not very tall.
Not very tall. No, no. But I've had other reported people tell me of seeing a Bigfoot that rocked their trailer. And they could smell him long before he got to the trailer.
I went on a vacation at Robber State Cave Park down there, where the outlaws used to hang out. It's a resort now.
And, yes.
I kept hearing Bigfoot stories, but I never got one as detailed as you just did. So I'm proud of you. Maybe we need to trade places. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the Inn of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed.
Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com. Jerry Pippin, and we're at the end of the Ozarks, and it's so fun time week for me because I get to talk to some tall Oklahomans. I have Keith Dunlap here, who had a sighting in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, or near there at least. Where is this?
It's up Highway 10, just north of Tahlequah. It's a scenic river.
I want you to describe for our listeners what we're talking about here. Northeastern Oklahoma is somewhat like the Ozarks here.
That's right. It's the foothills of the Ozarks, and it has clear streams, and most people wouldn't know it looks like that in Oklahoma. It's Ozarks.
Yeah, but it does, and it's near the Arkansas border, not too far.
And that's right, about 30 miles.
And I believe originally you and your wife had some sort of experience back in 93?
I think it was 93. She was 7 months pregnant with my boy, and we were heading out of Tahlequah, out of town, to go home up Highway 10, and we saw this big gray ellipse, oval thing glowing off, you know, on the horizon. I said, look, hon, a UFO, just joking. We'd known each other for 5 years, never said a word about UFOs.
So uh-huh.
It wasn't on our minds. And as we got down there close to the river and turned up a Highway 10 there, it was getting closer. And then we're like, well, maybe this is a UFO.
Did it get very close to you?
Or? Pretty close. So, well, it got real close eventually. So, as we're heading up the highway there, about 3 miles,
was this morning or night? Or
this was about 10:20 at night. It
okay.
was dark. And
so there wasn't a lot of traffic out?
Oh, no. We're the only ones. It was classic, you know, out on a country road with a pregnant wife. And So this hill got in the way. It went behind the hill that we were going up, and we're like, wow, well, we crossed paths on the top of the mountain there. So now it's about 150 feet above us. It's about 300 feet long by 150 feet tall.
And it was open. A big one then.
It was big. It was big. It had a blue strobe on the top and white and red in the middle.
Was it the oval or circular? Or?
It was...
Or more like a triangle.
It was an ellipse. It was an oval.
Sure, you're
it was perfect.
Okay.
And it was huge. And my God. And then, so we're going down the hill now, and this seems to be following us down the hill. It seems to have, you know, gone off its path, and now it's following us.
Had either one of you showed any fear at this time?
Oh,
or were
yeah.
you still
oh,
marvel?
My Lord, yeah. You know, I had slowed down and stick my head out, and by another 400, 500 yards down the road, I'm calling on Jesus. I'm telling you.
Yeah, right.
And I haven't called on him in a while.
Right. And now, was it making any noise?
No. Well, you couldn't really tell. I was in my car. So finally, we get down to the bottom of the hill there, and it turns into a straightaway. And finally, it breaks off from us. And I'm like, oh, God, thank you. And so it goes off over to, that would be west. So we pulled the car over and stopped. She was braver than I was, actually. We got out and we listened. I say it makes no sound. It was maybe a slight hum, but really no sound for the size of this thing. And it was amazing.
And it just hung up there, or was it still
just
moving?
No, it was going about, seemed like maybe 10 miles an hour. It was a real cold, crisp night. It was either March 22nd or February 22nd. I can't remember right now, but very clear night, but the edges were fuzzy around it. You know, you couldn't see, you know, very distinct edges, but it
right.
was huge, and it was unbelievable.
Now, do you think more happened than you can remember?
Yeah, I've thought about that, and people have asked me. I don't think so. I'm hoping not. I thought
in other words, neither one, you nor your wife, had any bad memories of Mark's or anything like that?
No, we know of. Now,
did
we
you have any missing time?
That's a good question. Well, we don't think so. We've talked about it a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
We did get home, to add to the freakiness of it. When we finally got home, the doors to our house was open.
Oh, really?
Now, that was odd in itself, but... You know,
we kind of chalked that up as maybe...
we left the doors open.
Yeah. In other words, somebody forgot to close it
right,
or something.
Right, but, you know...
I mean, there was nothing missing inside or...
No
evidence of anybody
after
inside.
Seeing that, having to go through the house and make sure no one's in there, that was...
Well, that was a pretty scary night for you, first of all. You see this thing out in the middle of nowhere, and then you get home and your doors are unlocked.
Yeah.
But you couldn't make out anything about this other than it was big.
It was gray, glowing, and fuzzy on the edges. And
Now, we have some pictures that you've given us. This was taken basically the same area, right?
That's right. So this was in 93, and so fast forward 12 years, 6-12 of 05, because it's date stamped. We Sarah had got a new digital camera, so she was on her way in Sunday morning to, she's the choir director, go to church. And so she's taking pictures of pretty much everything. She sees a nice sunrise, and she's driving down the road. She just sticks the camera out the window.
So she's actually just clicking pictures out the window as she's driving down there.
Right,
okay.
She took four, and it was, you know, it was a good sunrise. It has the rays coming out and the nice clouds.
Sure,
and so. And so my boys and I had caught a bunch of catfish that next day. So that next weekend, after we download them to the computer, I'm going in there to look at our fish pictures. And I come across these pictures I didn't even know she'd taken. And bam, there it was.
What do you make of those objects? They look like they're circular.
Well, the one that she took, the original one in the sunrise, it looks pretty much, except farther away, just like the thing we saw 12 years ago.
A traditional UFO.
Right, big gray thing, and you can zoom in on it, and I'll email it
and
to
then,
you.
And then you notice these black objects later.
That's right, and so we're...
They're not that big.
I was reveling in this picture, you know, that Sarah had taken, and then it took me a whole month to figure out, well, if she can do that, I could do that too. So I took the camera, and each time I drove by there, the same place, you know, I just stick the camera out and take pictures of over that hill. And I did that for a couple months, never spent the time to go look at them, and I was homesick from work one day, and that afternoon I got to feeling better and was kicking around the house. I thought, I know, I'll go look at all those pictures I've taken over the last 2 months. And so I had taken 84, because I go up there about twice a week, right? So four going back by, you know, there's quite a few. Out of 84 pictures, four of them had these round metallic black balls. Considering that hill's probably, I don't know, a third of a mile away, it's hard to tell how big they are. I'm guessing about 6 foot in diameter.
Well, let me ask you this much. You and your wife are here at the... in fact, you were here last year, too, I think.
First time we winged it.
And so you came back to Eureka Springs, to the Ozark UFO Congress, the conference. What do you make of all this? Are you a true believer?
Well, that's a good question.
Are you still just
after our original sighting? I guess did what a lot of people do: just file it in the don't know file in your brain, and then about 7 years later, it just suddenly became a thing I had to know. You know, after all these years, and so I've, like most people, researched everything I can on the internet. And what I think is what most of these folks here probably think, and that's they're from somewhere else, no doubt.
And now you mentioned, you know, your religion, your wife's Sunday school teacher or choir director or whatever. Has that affected that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, how do you file this information? You know, when you're brought up to believe in Christ and all these other things, and how does this fit in? It really bothered me. About 3 days after that original thing, You know, the first time we saw it, I just busted down crying. I was out mowing the lawn. And I'm like 34 years old. I'm like, why am I crying? And the reason was is I didn't know what to do with this information, how it fit in. So at that point, I just, like I say, I created a file in my brain. Don't know file. That's where I put it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to deal with it
for
a while.
So you didn't have to deal for a while.
And you know, and so I think, I know the Bible says somewhere in there that, in my house there's many, in my mansion there's many rooms, I believe it is. And I, that's what I believe.
Okay.
That there is other beings in this universe.
You're open to the subject, and it's not going to affect the way you traditionally believed and brought up.
Well, it did for a while, but I came to grips
with it. But you know how to deal with it now.
Yeah, I came to grips with it, and it hasn't affected my faith.
You think you had had experiences before this one you remember in 93?
No.
And your wife probably, does she ever think she had some other things happen to her before?
Well,
you know, the reason I ask that, because it seems to follow families.
Right. And the answer for her is no, she doesn't remember anything like that. Now, I did have some weird things happening when it seemed like I was around 5 years old. I remember some very strange things that it's very hard to articulate, but some kind of an odd pressure, I don't know. Maybe you call it sleep paralysis. I don't know.
Bad dreams, or
it's hard to put in words. Seemed like it was a dream, like but it felt like I was being enclosed in something, and I never did know what was going on.
You had some sort of feeling, some sort of something you couldn't put your hands
That's
on
right.
as a child, especially, but
yes.
Anxiety of some
right.
sort.
And something was happening, and it felt like to me as a child that. It sounds odd, but I was being rolled up in a rug or something, you know, just some kind of an odd pressure that I didn't have a handle on and didn't know what was going on. But whether that fits in here, I can't say. I really don't want to know.
I understand. But at the same time, you come to these conferences now.
That's right. Well, we came here for the fun of it, to get away, and you know, it's a romantic little town, and you know, we get to kill two birds with one stone. Come be together and have
right.
some fun times.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming by and talking to us about this, and thank you for the pictures.
You're welcome.
They are phenomenal, and this digital camera existence we now have, it does seem like a lot of things show up we don't see.
Yeah, that's right. I looked into that, too, because I was wondering, you see it on some of these websites, you know, and it's 99% of them, they'll say the same thing. We were taking a picture of whatever, and we saw nothing. Got home, there it is, and it's a function of the digital camera. I understand.
And you don't think it was the camera making something up? You think it was seeing something?
That's right. I believe, and I'm pretty sure I read on the internet.
And in other words, it wasn't creating
a
false image. It was
no.
basically something that the naked eye doesn't notice, at that instant, we're not paying attention.
It's either going so fast the naked eye can't see it, or it's picking up a larger snapshot of the light spectrum outside the visible light spectrum. That's my belief.
Well, I imagine you check your digital camera shots more often now.
No doubt.
A little closer.
After that second time I started getting those black balls in there, I carry it always, and I take pictures of the sky.
Okay, we have Keith Dunlap. Thank you very much for coming by. So far, this show's been all Okies. We'll see how it turns out for the hour. Still got a half hour to go. Don't go away. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Files.
Thank you, Jerry. Good day.
Good show. Tennessee Vermont. The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.
It's Tennessee Birdwalk.